Welcome back to Real Talk Rangers. Tonight is a good night. So we're recording this on Tuesday night, November 1st, and the Rangers just actually kind of beat up St. Louis, the Blues at the Garden, which was kind of goes into the overarching theme here, which is the question of the day, which is this team good and is this team for real? So
oh, they're good and they're for real.
I think, you really can't say no to that question at this point, which is pretty telling early in the season. I will say that Dave Maloney had a great quote today while he was calling the game. He said, I wish it was April, and I got to agree with that because the way they're playing right now, it's very encouraging. But we have some stuff we want to get into this week, so we're going to start it off with our injuries segment. So, Derek, what's been going on with the injuries around the team?
So, the good thing is the injury update's kind of coming to a close, which is definitely a good thing. Buchnevich had the back spasms. He's back. He came back against Carolina. He looked good. He played tonight against St. Louis. He also looked good. He just can't find the back of the net, but I'm going to get into that later.
That'll come.
Kreider came back tonight, played phenomenal. We'll get into that later as well. He had the neck spasms for a while. He missed about, I think, 3 games. He snapped right back into it. And then the only current player that's injured is Juris, about 3 to 4 weeks with a shoulder issue. So just wanted to quickly get those out there. And then we wanted to talk about what happened last week.
Right. And I got to say, it's really, really nice to get Kreider back in the lineup, just especially the way he's been dominating play early in the season, and I think that kind of continued tonight. So, and it's also great for Z. It's just also, I mean, we'll get into the depth a little bit later, but when you have Kreider back in the lineup, everybody bumps back down a line, and there's really, I mean, they scratched Lindbergh tonight, and so arguably your weakest player on the team is Jesper Fast, who is probably the most defensively oriented and sound player on the team, and he's also plays some good offense, or Kevin Hayes. It's a really dynamic front four, really top to bottom, top four lines. You can roll them out in different situations.
Something random just popped in my head that I hadn't thought about until just now is that you just took Lindbergh out because Kreider comes back. And like you said, Fast is sort of the weak link there, unless you consider taking out Hayes. But Juris started playing his best hockey right before he got hurt. So when he comes back, what do you do?
I totally agree with that.
I mean, not that this is a bad thing. I mean, this is a good thing that you can't figure out who to take out. But
it's a very good thing.
I mean, we have incredible depth, but it's just interesting when he comes back. It's like he was playing at his peak just when he got hurt, but everyone else is stepping up too. So do you keep him on the bench or do you take people out and see what happens? It's going to be an interesting thing when he comes back in a couple weeks. So
yeah, we'll see how AV adjusts the lineup. But like you said, Juris was he was turning into that pleasant surprise area just as he got hurt. But we'll see. We'll check back in on that.
Speaking of pleasant surprises, Grabner, though?
Yeah. Well, we'll get into him as well. We'll get into him too. But anyway, so we want to just, stick to the course here. We're going to do a little week in review really quickly. So it's been a little while since we have dropped a new episode. And we recorded last Saturday on October 22nd, right before the Caps game. We both predicted losses.
Yes,
and
sir.
We came out victorious. We beat the Caps in D.C. 4-2. Went down 2-0 early, came back with 4 straight. Jimmy Vesey kind of began his elevation, his league-wide elevation. He's getting accolades from around the league at this point. But it was a really, really solid victory. The Caps had, I think, been undefeated in regulation up to that point, and it was their first regulation loss. And so that was a really encouraging start. And then they played the next night, right, Derek?
Yeah, so then I had the privilege to go to the game on Sunday against the Coyotes. Kind of an interesting game. I mean, they didn't really play their best game. I mean, they ended up winning 3-2, but it was kind of back and forth the whole game against a team who really had no business competing with us. But the highlight there was Juris had a goal, and then the game winner, our boy Daniel Girardi with the game-winning goal. So
Yep. And but you know what? That was the classic trap game that the Rangers like to fall into, where they come off a huge win and then they just come out and play a dud against a way worse team.
We'll speak about one of those in a second.
We might get there in a second. But anyway, so they had a couple days off after they won against Coyotes. They played Wednesday night, and we were both at the game, actually. Didn't even know it that each other were there. They beat the Bees at home after a really, really poor first period. That first period pretty much took the crowd out of it. And, you know, you had that horrible goal from Hank, the second goal, and they went down 2-0 in the first. I think it was the kid's, I forget the name, what the guy's name was, Sarnik. It was his first career goal. It was a complete, just horrible miscue on Hank's part. But they battled back and actually dominated the second and third, which was really, really good.
Five unanswered goals,
and I think it showed that we are just a better team than Boston right now. They just really overtook them in the later stages of the game.
VC had a goal and an assist in the Bruins game, and also had two goals against Washington.
He did.
So you're starting to see a little bit of a trend.
Hence the trend, exactly.
Yeah, and we'll you know, some of it will come out later too, but just pick up on all the things VC's doing. So then a couple days after that, Friday was the typical Ranger letdown game. Carolina beats us 3-2. The game, you watch it, you're just not sharp. The passes weren't, you know, tape to tape. They couldn't really enter the zone. I mean, you know, basically it became the Skinner versus Zuccarello show. Both had two goals. I would also just like to shout out to Skinner. He is a phenomenal player. And I've always known it. And he's always in the free agent list on fantasy. And I just never want to pull the trigger. But it seems like Carolina got a little bit better this year. So his plus minus might actually be okay, but he's a phenomenal player, and he's like 23. You think the guy's like 40? He's been in the league for like five, six years, and he's 23. Unbelievable player.
He's very good. Another diminutive, really, really, really quick guy. Really good, skilled, upper level skills on him, and he's playing on a team that I think is not as bad as people think. I think once they get some goaltending, a little more defense, they have some guys, especially that Rask kid. He's really good too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But and our boy Lee Stempniak. Quick shout out to him. And then they closed out the weekend on October 30th, Sunday night. They played Tampa. Huge win. They just beat them up from the start of that one. Michael Grabner had a hat trick in that game. Which is great. The guy really, really, I think he's averaging a breakaway a game, legitimately.
Yeah, no joke. I think he is.
He's so fast. And the third goal, I got to quickly point out, his third goal off a great, great pass, who I believe it was Hayes on the pass, and really just made a beautiful goal scorer's goal move. Just quick hands, and he just put it top shelf right over the goalie. And Grabner's a fourth-line player on our team right now. So that's really encouraging stuff.
And what's actually more exciting, I thought, was that he got bumped up to the third line today and Buchnevich got put down to the fourth. I love that.
He deserves it.
I mean, put Grabner back on the third if he's playing like this. And he had a good game today, too. And he had a good game today.
Totally agree.
Two things I noticed on Sunday. I really zoned in on a few things, and I actually texted this to you, I believe, Sunday night. I realized two things Sunday night. First was that after Brady Shea made that pass on the first Grabner goal,
The
no-look pass across ice basically gave Grabner a wide-open net. I sort of realized, and I think I had been thinking this for a long time, but I never really wanted to admit it yet, I think that Brady Shea is really, truly an NHL-caliber defenseman.
Yeah.
And I think you've been saying it for a pretty long time, but I wasn't committed to it until the last couple games.
Well, now, it's not really a question. He's been pretty excellent, actually, the last few games, and the offensive aspects are pretty much unmatched right now on the team. I mean, well, you could argue McDonough, actually, but we'll get into that later.
Mm-hmm.
So today, Tuesday, November 1st, we just destroyed St. Louis. St. Louis is 5-2-2 coming into this game, looking like a powerhouse to be out west, and they came in, and we shut them down. That's encouraging too.
Yeah, I mean, St. Louis is having a tough time scoring goals right now, but I mean, what we did to them and what we did to Tampa is just, this might be a little bit crazy, but I'm going to say it anyways. I truly think that these last two fucking games, the best games I've ever seen as a Rangers fan. I'm just going to say it. I mean, they were unstoppable.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with.
They refused to even let up on these two games. They kept being aggressive. They didn't fall into that defensive shell that they have done for so many years and give up like 2-3 goals and make the game interesting.
The three-goal rule.
They stayed aggressive. They stayed fast. One of the other things I learned on Sunday and Tuesday, I started thinking about Jimmy VC is actually an elite player. And I think and Jim Cerny actually talked about this on Twitter a couple hours ago. He said when VC first came in, you know, you didn't really know if he was going to be like a third line kind of guy, or he was actually going to be elite. And I think after the last two games, everyone's starting to be like, he's actually an elite player.
There's no question. We'll get further into VC in a minute. Just really quickly though, as of right now, New York Rangers are on top of the Metropolitan Division with 14 points, 7-3 in 10 games. We are the number one team in team goal differential in the NHL at +18. And we're firing on all cylinders, like you said. There's really no comparison in terms of two games in a row in the recent history of this team that I can remember enjoying more as a fan, like you said. Agreed. I mean, you want to go back and compare it to sure. I mean, you could look at Torts teams. Were you really having fun watching those games? No. I mean, they were winning them, but it wasn't the same brand of hockey. This team is AV's just protege, typical writing all over it. I mean, this is what he wants to do with the team. This is how he wants to play.
Yeah, with Torts teams, I was watching games, you know, more worried about someone going to take a slapper to the back of the face and not play the rest of their life. Like, everyone's blocking shots. I'm more worried about injuries than anything else. This team, I'm asking myself who's going to score the next goal.
Right.
Whose
turn is it? Yeah.
Right. And so a couple things about the game tonight against St. Louis. First of all, VC scores a power play goal, which was actually the second goal, which, I mean, the kid's just phenomenal. We could talk about this all day, but we're not going to. I think we're all coming to terms with it. Yeah. Expect 25. I don't know.
We'll get into VC in a minute.
The other quick thing is that Ryan McDonough, which we're also going to get into later, has another assist, which is now 8 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Eight assists in 8 games, which is also phenomenal. Obviously Nash scores a goal, and I have actually a little question for you that I did not tell you about. So Nash scores a goal tonight. He's been playing really well. My question for you and for everyone out there is Rick Nash back? Is he back?
Yeah. The way that he's playing right now, he's back. I want to hold off on my specific answers right now because we should move straight into the 3 stars of the week.
Okay, fair.
Segment, because we might hear some of these names we've been discussing. Third star of the week, I have Michael Grabner. Mm-hmm. And a good chunk of that is because of the hat trick that we noted. He's got 5 goals on the year already. Mm-hmm. I don't know the number specifically. I would be shocked if he had more than 8 or 9 last year playing in Toronto. So he has morphed back into the goal-scoring/penalty-killing specialist that he was looking like he would be early in his career. And I think we got him on the cheap, and I think that he's a really good fit next to some of these other speed guys. It's just another whirlwind of guys that can just break out at any moment. And Grabner's been really impressing, also defensively as well.
Yeah, I like that. I didn't actually go with him. I mean, the thing is, like, okay, he has that, like you said, he's been playing really well all over the ice, and then he has the hat trick, and like, that's phenomenal. But I'm not gonna quickly jump to that. Right? I mean, I just think that, how do I put this? I think that may be an outlier. I mean, the guy's not gonna score a goal a game. He might score a goal every couple weeks, whatever it is. So I don't want to put him up there quite yet.
Well, but that's the whole. Isn't that the point of the 3 stars of this week?
Yeah, that's true. I have too many other people that I want to give recognition to.
No, that's totally fair because the team is really deep and they're all putting up points. But I just wanted to give Grabner a shout-out while I can. I'll put it there.
Yeah, I have to stay more in the classic Ranger zone for a while here. So my third star is actually going to be Hank.
Okay.
And just hear me out with the numbers here. So this is before tonight's shutout. So just keep that in mind. I didn't put the shutout into these numbers yet. So last four games Hank played, before this game, three wins, a 2.26 goals against, and a .916 save percentage. So he's been trending upward, and now today he just shut St. Louis out, who can score goals. The other thing, do not ever forget when a goalie has an assist, and he had an assist. He had an assist last week. He got an apple, and that's not to be forgotten.
No. Always love when you get some goalie assists. Goalies get on the board.
Yeah.
So my number two star, I've got Rick Nash. He has five goals, as does Michael Grabner. He is skating like he skated 2 years ago when he put in 42. He and Jimmy Vesey together, that is a dynamic duo. I know the first week of the season we were talking just about Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider playing together, and that's still a real thing, which is exciting looking forward. But I think you have almost a comparable level of excitement for Rick Nash and Jimmy Vesey. These two guys are feeding off each other. It's like the veterans teaching the rook, and they're both just gaining momentum out of it, and it's really, really exciting. I think that I believe that you had Rick Nash under 17 goals this year.
Yeah.
Do you still feel confident in that prediction?
I mean,
it's early, but
that's the thing, is it's very early. Realistically, he'll probably pass that, but I still am not comfortable with saying that Rick Nash is back because it's only been 10 games. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's true.
I mean,
I'm just basing off what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, the next 10 games, he could not show up, period. That's possible.
But do you think that's likely, given the way he's playing with VC right now? And the way
absolutely not, but it is possible.
It is. No, it is.
And that's why I'm still a little bit hesitant to jump to get a little, ambitious with the Nash here. So
Okay.
Who do you got, Mr. Rick Nashty. God, I'm glad he's good, but I still think he sucks. Maybe in a couple weeks I'll think differently. I hope I do. For number two, I'm going to make this real short. It's going to be Ryan McDonagh. And the reason being, solid defense always. Never lets up on defense. 8 assists in 8 games. Done.
Yep. He has 8 assists in the last 8. I think 9 in the 10 games in the year. He is one assist behind Claude Giroux of Philly for the league lead in assists.
He is
really, really good right now.
He's very good. The thing that makes him stick out even more in my mind is, so when you say guys like Carlson and Burns, you think, oh, they give me really good offense and kind of mediocre defense. McDonagh plays defense first, always.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're getting shut down defense night in and night out, and now you're giving me 8 assists in 8 games? I mean, come on. Are you shitting me?
It's a +8 to lead the team right now.
And he plays 27 minutes on the ice a game. Like, are you seriously, you're shitting me,
hey,
right?
It's our captain.
Jesus, he's unreal right now. I mean, and if he can keep playing like this, I mean, Norris, anyone?
Sky's the limit for him. I think the goals will start coming too. He's got 22 shots on goal, hasn't found the back of the net yet, but that's just a matter of time. The way he's playing, the way he's moving, and the positions that he's putting himself in.
Do you put him in the running for the Norris?
As of now, of course, absolutely.
I mean, he's got to be in the top five, right?
Although, listen, well, that's partially the way that the NHL has trended in the last few years, really the last decade, is to put a lot more onto high point producing defensemen. I think that's the main reason why Carlson has won the Norris. And also, although last year Drew Doughty won it, and he put up points, but he didn't put up Carlson points, but they still acknowledge Drew Doughty is a great defensive defenseman. So hopefully maybe they'll start valuing that more and realize that McDonagh is basically the Doughty to our team.
I was literally just going to say that. I mean, if you really look, Doughty's won it a few times in the last few years. I'm not sure the exact number, but if you really look at Doughty, I mean, McDonough and Doughty are actually like very, very similar players. I mean, I think that Doughty probably has a little bit more offensive talent, just raw talent, but mm-hmm. defensively they're both very good, and McDonough's probably a little bit better. So I think they're very similar players. I mean, I think McDonough, if he can keep up even close to the pace he's on now, he's got to be in the Norris talk. He's just, absolutely got to be.
Absolutely. It would be great to see a full, healthy year out of McDonough. And see the way he's playing, see what he can do over a full stretch. But
the other thing is about McDonough is that the people around, the defensemen around him, have been playing better as a whole.
Right.
The defense has just been playing better as a whole, which makes him obviously look a lot better. Also makes him, two things make him be able to engage offensively. He can trust his defense more, and he can also trust his forwards to cover him on a pinch or to get back on the back check, which is huge.
I cannot remember a Rangers team with more defensively responsible offensive players. I can't.
I completely agree. And watching the game tonight, the St. Louis game, I mean, guys, we're up 5-0. And people were back checking as if this was a game 7 of a Stanley Cup and a tie game. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Like, even people that you don't expect to be doing it, like Buchnevich or Hayes, are back checking hard. And that's what you need to do. And John Gianoan was talking about it in the third period, was that Scott Arneil wasn't happy because the tail end of the second period, St. Louis started gaining a little bit of momentum, and he had to remind everybody, you know, we're up big, but you got to play this like it's a 1-1 game. You got to still play hard, play your game, and stick to it. And then they picked it up in the third, and you know, they kept the shutout and everything. So that's important too. You don't just, like they used to do, let up and go into the defensive shell. And then, you know, oh, they score a goal. Okay, and now they score two, and then they score three, and then, oh, they're back in it. Tied up, you know?
No, I agree. I also like the fact that they are responding to their coaches right now, and the coaches are coaching them up. I mean, clearly all these guys up and down the lineup are hustling, and they're in the right positions, and there's not a whole lot of mistakes going on right now. So hopefully we can continue that. But let's finish off the three stars. And I think we, for the second straight podcast, have the same player as the number one star of the week. It has to be Jimmy Vesey. There's no one else. The rookie's got 6 goals and 9 points in his first 10 games. Mm-hmm. He is scoring beautiful goals. These aren't shitty, you know, deflections or like a Hayes-type throw it off a goalie's back, which is a savvy move, but no, VC's scoring.
No, VC's bringing it.
He's bringing some goal-scoring goals. And it's really I don't want to say it's as advertised but it might be. I think he might be living up to the expectations. He might even be exceeding them right now.
I would say he's exceeding them, to be honest. I mean, I think, like I said earlier, I think everyone thought he was going to be really good, but I don't think anyone thought he'd be this good. I mean, listen, when he scored the 6th goal tonight, his 6th goal, he was tied for the league lead in goals before Stamkos scored his 7th. Stamkos. Yep. Steven Stamkos.
Yep.
Like, think about that for a second. This guy literally has been in the league for a week and a half, 2 weeks, and he's contesting Steven Stamkos right now. I mean, no one would have ever predicted this. Literally nobody.
No, I agree. You think the kid hits 25 now?
You know, I really do. And I almost question... I'll leave it at I do. I think he can get 30.
Ask 30, but 30 seems a little... But we'll see. The way he's going, you know?
30 seems ridiculous, but you know what also seems ridiculous? 6 goals in 10 games.
In 10 games for a rookie, right.
Right. And the other thing is... You know, not only is he scoring goals and producing, I'm not sure exactly how many assists he has, but he has a good amount of assists too. Well, he must have 3, right? You said he had 9 points?
6 goals, 3 assists, yep.
Yeah, so he's producing some apples too. I mean, the thing I notice the most about this kid is that, like, he not only is he putting up numbers, he's noticeable on the ice. When he's on the ice, he's one of the only people you're looking at. Like, he always has the puck. The puck always finds him. He's battling hard in the corner. I mean, he's just doing everything right. I haven't seen him do anything. Aside from the first game or two in the preseason where he made some really crucial mistakes, once he really started getting going, he hasn't made a mistake, period.
I would agree with that. He's been excellent.
So really quickly about this three stars segment that we do, I think it's really interesting what we just did. You know, we agreed with VC, and I think everyone listening would agree that VC has to be the top star, but we had different second and third stars. And the thing I think that's really interesting about that is that's what happens when you have depth.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I put Grabner out there.
Right.
You know who we – do you know who's leading the team in scoring? Just off the top of your head.
Yeah. Wait, point scoring?
Point scoring.
Yeah, it's Miller, right?
JT Miller. We haven't mentioned JT Miller. That's the kind of depth that this team has right now.
And you know what's crazy about that too? Miller, like, he's leading the team in points. He should have probably double the points he has.
Agreed.
Like, the way he's been playing, he probably should have buried three or four more goals. He probably should have had three or four more apples from someone else who missed a net. Speaking of that, and I want to throw this in because I'm not sure we'll get to it anywhere else. I'm a little bit, and I told you this earlier, I'm a little bit worried about Zibanejad. Not in a way that I think, like, he's not going to produce, but I mean, dude, literally, and you've watched these games, and all the listeners, like, hear me out. He has had probably 6 golden opportunities in the last 4 or 5 games, like, 8+, like, that should have went in opportunities. The guy should probably have 6-7 goals by now. And that worries me just the tiniest bit.
I understand the concern. He is shooting 6.1%, so he's got two goals on 33 shots. But again, the opportunities are there, and with Kreider coming back into the lineup and the two of them with the chemistry that they've already developed, I'm not too worried. I'm really not worried.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, like, I'm not saying, you know, I'd rather have him miss golden opportunities than not have golden opportunities at all. Like, don't get me wrong, but, like, I just wish he would bury a few more of those. I mean, if he would, this team is unbelievable right now. I can't even – I'm really excited to see what's going to happen the rest of the week because, I mean, we just beat down two really good teams like it was nothing. So,
yeah.
I mean, we'll see what happens.
Agreed. There's also some exciting games coming up, but
we will
get to the week ahead a little bit later on.
Yep.
So right now, you want to go around the league a little bit?
Yeah. I want to talk about a few things. Actually, the first one's going to – it's kind of around the league, but it's kind of staying at home as well. Fuck, Dylan McIlrath, man. I mean, what else can you say about the guy? I mean
– it hurts.
You know, it's one of these weird things where you thought it was just the coaching staff that had a grudge against him or whatever it was. You bring in Bukaboom. Bukaboom's supposed to be like, you know, like a father figure to him, like, oh, I can bring this kid up. And then he just doesn't get the opportunities again this year. He never really had the opportunities, period. And then, you know, they put him on waivers, which, you know, I didn't really think anyone was expecting. You know, there was some trade rumor stuff going around. They put him on waivers, you know. I'd say 80% of writers and 80% of fans were probably like, oh, well, there he goes. He's going to get claimed by somebody. But then
he was gone.
And I think most people did. And there was a few writers that I was reading about that were saying, you know, I don't think anyone's going to pick him up. And it started making me think, and I don't know if you thought about this, but, like, maybe there's something we are missing about this guy, and he's actually not NHL ready. I don't know your thought on that.
My thoughts have turned. I've pretty much done a 180. At first, I was pretty upset that he really wasn't getting a shot in the lineup, and then obviously when he was sent down and had to go through waivers, I thought they were making a big mistake. But at this point, like, listen, the reality is that this team is playing really well, okay? AV's coaching them up. He's got the guys that he wants in the lineup, and they're producing. So at this point, rather than sitting as a healthy scratch in a suit in the press box at the Garden every night, you want McIlrath playing games. And if that's in the AHL right now, then that's in the AHL. And he can, you know, he can go down and work on his skills. And the thing is, I'm done. I think the days are over where we're expecting, you know, first-round return on the kid. I just, at this point...
Oh, yeah, those are done.
Those are way done. At this point, if he can go down there, work on his skills, you know, maybe there's an injury, maybe he plays his way back into the lineup and takes off, starts scoring, starts hitting. I don't know, but it can't hurt playing more. I think the worst thing for the kid right now would be sitting in that box every night.
I mean, it certainly doesn't help when your defense is playing well and there's a little bit of depth. The other thing is, I think at this point, and I think you just alluded to it, but I want to solidify it a little more. I think at this point, he's pretty much buried into the minors. I really don't think he's coming out of the minors, barring any major injuries to like two people. I mean, really, yeah. I think he's pretty much buried there for a significant amount of time.
Agreed.
The second thing that shocked me, you know, is there not a team in the NHL that wants to take a chance on, you know, they're going to have to pay this guy like $400K. Like, that's it. $400K yeah, to pick up a possibly NHL-ready defenseman. That surprises me. But the thing I learned a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. The poison pill. I found this out, and I don't think anyone knew this. I mean, maybe people in the system and a few writers that go really in-depth might have known this. There's a stipulation in McElrath's contract that says if he doesn't play 41 games in the NHL, then at the end of the year, for whatever team he's on, he becomes an unrestricted free agent, so they have no rights to him anymore. So basically, he's not going to play 41 games. So you're basically picking up an unrestricted free agent that's likely to walk anyways. But I still think, I mean, like $400,000 and change to pick up this guy, like, I just think a team could have taken a chance with him. But
yeah,
it didn't
happen. Agree.
So, yeah. That is what it is.
Reality is, we'll see what happens, but he will be playing in the AHL. So
yeah, and so this next story around the league, man, is just, if you guys want to go get your Kleenex out, I mean, this is just a straight up tearjerker.
Yeah.
I mean, the Craig Anderson story, man. I mean, you know, Thursday it comes out that, you know, I think it was Thursday he left the team, and then Friday it came out that his wife was diagnosed with cancer. He missed the game on, I believe it was Friday. And then Andrew Hammond got hurt. Saturday, you then heard that Anderson and his wife talked about it, and she said that she would rather him just go play, which I think is just such a bold move. And you hear a lot about these types of stories in sports, and they're just great stories. I mean, I've literally watched the video of him after the game, and I've watched it like 10 times. It's just a great story. So he comes back Sunday, and he puts up the like 30 some ridiculous 37 save shutout. Like, if you go back and watch the video, and it's not just like run of the mill saves. Like, he had like an angel with him. Like, he was making incredible saves.
Yep.
And you just can't write this stuff. You just can't make it up. Stories like this just blow my mind. And then the best part about it, and shout out to Cam, former Ranger, about this, Cam Talbot. You know, after he shuts the team out, you know, obviously he's the first star, and he comes out, and like they have like close-ups of it if you want to go look at him. He's literally crying. He has his mask on. He's like literally crying when he skates out as the first star. And fucking Cam Talbot, man, credit to him. He's standing in the tunnel, the away team tunnel, and just fucking clapping it for him. And I just think that's so respectful.
It's all class. There's a quick quote I want to throw out from the Senators coach, actually, from Guy Boucher. Mm-hmm. So he said, "We love hockey. It's a great game. But there are things that are bigger. There are a lot of people who showed that tonight." And I think he was clearly alluding to Cam Talbot. And that's just – it's moving. It's powerful. And
I literally just got goosebumps.
It's a brotherhood.
I got goosebumps just now.
Really. No, really. It's hard not to. I mean, he just put everything out there. You know, it was a relief to get back on the ice for a little bit. Just, you know, all the best, obviously, to Craig Anderson and his wife. But
course,
it does show you, it shows you what kind of players populate this league,
dude,
as opposed
and,
to some
and,
other leagues.
Yeah, I mean, that I was gonna say that. I mean, obviously, other leagues just don't have the same respect or same camaraderie, I guess you would say, between amongst players and teams. I mean, you know, like on the ice, some people hate each other, and you know, some people might actually hate each other. But I think, as a collective whole, they're all hockey players. They're all hockey players. You know,
they're
like
all
they, hockey you
players.
Know, you know, they.
Isn't
they,
it obvious?
Isn't it obvious? The girls.
For the girls.
I wanted to win a national championship. Anyways, I digress.
Quote that movie all day. Yeah.
Oh God, Miracle, great movie. But like, I really do think there's a really strong camaraderie between the players and everybody. And you know, the crazy thing I was thinking about too is like, this is Hockey Fights Cancer Month.
I mean,
they were doing all the things, you know, in the pregame warmups, wearing the jerseys and everything for Hockey Fights Cancer. Another big shout out to actually Mika Zibanejad. I think the day after, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen, they have those little Hockey Fights Cancer signs, and you can write in who you're fighting for.
Yeah,
dude, Mika Zibanejad wrote in Nicole Anderson, which, you know, obviously they used to play together, so they probably have a little bit more of a connection than some other guys. But I mean, just little things like that, man. I mean, it's just
it's a great thing class. To see. All class.
Yeah, it's a great thing to see.
It really is. It really is great. The NHL. announced their three stars for the month of October. I don't know if did you see this.
Yeah.
The number one star, well, the number three star, Jonathan Marshall.
Yep.
From the Florida Panthers. Yep. Surprising. I hadn't really been following this kid. But
me neither. Yeah.
He's pretty good. He's sharing the league lead with 6 goals, or at he was, until Stammer scored.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's got 6 goals, 5 assists in 11 games played, in 9 games played. He had a couple first multi goal effort, scored a pair of game winning goals. He's 25 years old. Kind of came out of nowhere, but good for him. Good for him. The second star, and this we can talk more about his team, Shea Weber, defenseman.
Ah, yes.
Montreal.
Dude,
he's got he's leading defensemen in points right now, or he was. He's got 4 goals, 6 assists, 10 points in 9 games. On a Montreal team that is 8-0-1.
Yeah, I mean it's unbelievable. I mean, this is a team that they were just so out of shape last year. I mean, they were bent and terrible. Like they couldn't score goals. Awful. They couldn't play defense. They didn't have a goalie. They had nothing, and they just turned it. I mean, obviously they have Carey Price back, so like, okay, you're gonna make a significant jump in the standings just right then. But I mean, they're scoring goals. It's interesting on Spit and Chicklets, actually. They were talking about the Piqué-Shea Weber trade and how everyone, you know, the initial gut was like, it was kind of like when Brassard got traded. You were like, wait, what? You were like, wait, Subban? Wait, Montreal traded Subban? That doesn't make any
Shocker.
Sense.
Shocker. Like, no idea what they were doing at the
like,
time.
Like, what just happened? And then, right. You know, you start to think about it more, and you're like, wait, Montreal, like, kind of needs that, like, stay-at-home defenseman. You know, Nashville kind of needs a goal-scoring defenseman. And it starts to make sense. And then the season starts, and, like, both players are doing really well in their respective teams. And you're like, wow. That was actually a really good trade on both. It's really a win-win for both teams. So
Very much so. Yeah, I think it also goes beyond hockey. I think just in terms of personality.
Oh, Montreal, dude, Piqué in Nashville is tearing it up right now.
Yeah, see, that there's two sides of the coin, exactly. Like, you thought about Piqué last year with Therrien as his coach. And,
yeah,
and
bad combo.
The Les Canadiens, you know, they're all business all the time, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And it was just not a good match. Meanwhile, you get Shea Weber back. This guy is the strong, silent type. This dude just goes out there, does his job, destroys people, fucking shoots pucks 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a big body, classic defenseman, does it all out there, great defensively, and he's not going to take the puck off the ice and try to, you know, put the puck through guys' legs and get caught on breaks.
But who does that? Subban?
Yeah, maybe Subban. But again, Subban's a human highlight reel, so both guys are happy with the moves, I think, and I think both teams are happy so far.
Dude, I mean, I'm sure you remember this. Like, the first week Subban was in Nashville after he got traded, he was, like, in a bar, like, singing karaoke. Like, Subban is Nashville. Like, that's where he needs to be.
Subban is the party.
Yeah, like, you really think Subban was tearing up parties in the locker room with Michel Therrien fucking watching him the whole time? I doubt it. Like,
I don't think so. I think maybe his brother was, unfortunately, right before he got in the goal when he played for Boston.
Dude, his brother's bad, bro.
I don't know if he's ever going to stick in the league, but that's an aside. And
he's bad, man.
He is.
He's bad.
Oh, we'll finish up the stars. So there's really not much more to say for number one, Connor McDavid. The kid, 5 goals, 7 assists, 12 points in 9 games, a couple game-winning goals. He's the fastest player on and off the puck I think I've ever seen.
He's unbelievable.
He's 19. We've already gotten into some of his just our breakdowns of his game in the last pod, but
yeah.
What more can you say about McDavid leading an Oilers team that's very good right now? They're very, very good.
The one thing I can say is that I actually have this phenomenal quote, but in the next pod, we're going to do a segment that we're going to call, I don't know, like what were we going to call it? What did he say?
We're going to say, say what? Say what?
Okay, we're going to call it say what, but basically we're going to go over quotes and try to guess who's saying them, but I have a great one for the Oilers, so I'm not going to spoil it. But what I will say, Cam Talbot, and this was actually, these are stats from only, they only go up to Saturday, but Talbot, on Saturday had a streak. He had stopped 156 pucks out of 160. That's a .975 save percentage.
Yeah,
and
that's
the, yeah, not bad, right? And the Oilers hadn't given up a goal in 213 minutes and change. This was before Saturday's game, but
wow.
But just to put that into perspective, I mean, you know, Edmonton, they have the offensive firepower. They don't have defense, and they didn't really have stable goaltending until the last couple weeks. So they're starting. Yeah. If they can start doing that and start playing a little bit defense, I mean, they're 7-2-1, so clearly they're a legit team. But for
exactly.
me, it's
I agree.
For me, it's more of a thing is can they sustain it? That's my question.
We're gonna see. I think Talbot. Yeah. Is only I think Talbot might be hitting his prime as this team hits their prime, so they could be in for a pretty bright future in Edmonton.
That would be good for them. That's for sure.
That would be very good for them. Speaking of Edmonton, do we have any more notes from around the league that we want to get through?
That was pretty much it. I just want to say really quick before we move on, seriously, if you didn't watch that Craig Anderson videos. Like,
no, seriously, I would
you have
say,
to go watch it.
I would strongly encourage you to.
Like, if you're really missing out on just an all-time great sports moment, if you don't go watch some of those videos, read some of those articles, that's all I'll say. So just...
The announcer even said that was the loudest ovation he's ever seen an opposing
yeah.
player get.
Just a phenomenal thing to happen, but...
Yeah. And, of course, the crowd up in Canada. But the week ahead, so for the Rangers, get back into the Rangers... schedule here on Thursday.
Wait, we're talking about the Rangers on this podcast?
Yeah, I forgot about that. Uh-huh. On Thursday, we have Edmonton. So, speak of the devil.
Yeah,
got
there you go.
Cam
you
returning.
Cam's got to be in net for that game, right?
1,000%.
Got to be, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I want him in net. I want to see it because I want to see.
I'm pretty sure we're going to light him up.
I think it's going to be a close game. We'll see. They're good right now.
Yeah.
But so are we.
We'll see. So, we'll see.
But again, it'll be cool to actually see a team out west, a young and up-and-coming team out west that you don't necessarily get to see or get to stay up for every day.
Well,
so that'll be fun.
What's exciting for, in my opinion, you know, for Thursday is it's going to be speed versus speed. So
right.
We're going to see what happens when you basically throw everything, you know, like throw everything at each other. I mean,
yeah.
It's either going to be two things. It's either A, going to be... Really, my prediction is going to be really tight in the first. No one's going to want to make a mistake. It's going to be a really tight nothing game in the first, and then it's going to open the fuck up in the second. And then the third's going to be sort of like a mix between both. That's my prediction.
This game will open up. If I'm betting on this game, I'm taking the over.
Yeah,
but
right? Definitely.
Also, yeah. Also, it's cool that Edmonton plays the same kind of speed game that we do because you really don't see that from teams out west. You got the
yeah.
grinding teams
yeah.
out west.
Good point.
You got
Good
the Blackhawks and, you know, the Kings when they're on their game, Anaheim, all those teams out there. They're big physical teams, San Jose. But you saw what happened against Pittsburgh in the Cup. I mean, if Martin Jones – isn't on top of the world of his goaltending game last year, that mm-hmm. might be a sweep. So they just
yeah.
couldn't skate with the Penguins. They just could not keep up with them. And Edmonton is right there with those teams in the East, with Austin, Pittsburgh, and those speed teams. So that's
yeah.
a cool little tidbit there.
It should be an interesting game.
And then Saturday.
Yeah, heading up to Beantown.
At Boston.
Boston. Should be interesting to see all these Boston guys going back to Boston. We'll see what kind of ovation VC gets. I think he's going to get some boos. What do you think?
I think you might hear some boos as well.
Just a few. I mean, people thought he was a lock to go to Boston. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure that he won't even be thinking about the game. He'll be thinking about getting the 35 tickets for his friends and family.
Yeah, I mean, him and Hayes, too, and, you know, all those guys, Kreider, all those dudes.
Yeah, a lot of Boston connections on this team.
I'd say it's pretty safe to say they're gonna throw a fucking rager after that game on Saturday.
Yeah, you could probably say that.
Win or lose, they're going out. Let's put it that
right.
way.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then, but they got to be ready for Sunday night against the Winnipeg Jets, who are 4-5 coming into the Garden, making the trip the trip east.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're not a very good team. My question about that game, though, and my question to you and the listeners is, when do you play Ronta next? I mean, obviously it's going to be either Saturday or Sunday, but what game do you put it, or do you wait to see what happens the rest of the week and then decide?
No, I would I would probably play him Sunday.
Okay.
I think the more Ronto that we see early in the season, the better. Obviously to like a reasonable extent. But I just think that the dude needs more work. He looked incredible in this last game.
Yeah.
He's making some fantastic saves.
Yep.
And there's no reason that you need to have Hank shoulder the load. And I think that he's had a little bit of a rough start. But like you said, you broke down. He was, I think, your third star of the week. And he had just coming off that shutout. And I think more rest will only help him get his production up. There's no negative to it, really.
I mean, I would play Ronta. I would play Ronta Saturday, though, against Boston. I mean, it's on the road. I just think Boston's, they're kind of in shambles right now. I think Bergeron was actually out tonight, which kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know if it's long-term or not, so he might be out. I don't know. I'd play him Saturday against Boston, but either one is fine. I think you do have to rest Lundqvist one of the nights, but yeah.
Absolutely. I just think you have to play him. I think it's a luxury to have a backup goalie that's really, he's probably back-end starter level type goaltending. I mean, that guy could start for a lot of teams. I still believe that.
So a quick question about that then. You know, all these teams are going into two-goalie systems, but most of the two-goalie systems out there have, like, two mediocre goalies or, like, an above-average goalie and a mediocre goalie, but not many have, like, a stud and then, like, a really good goalie, too. And I'm not quite sure if Ronta falls into that, like, above-average goalie. I think he's a really, really good backup. But it would be really interesting to see a team who has, like, either two studs or, like, a stud and an above-average goalie.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that it's hard also given the salary cap situations because these big superstar goalies are going to come in with, like, $7 million cap hits. And then you got Ronta, who just signed a two-year, $2 million deal. And I think for a million, it's a steal and a half.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you're right in terms of
Auntie up.
How Auntie up. Got Auntie up. Great headline. I think it would be interesting to see how Ronta would fare. But then again, you know, listen, Cam Talbot, we probably would have said similar things about him, although he did have an extended look as a starter, and he was tremendous. But he went over to Edmonton, had a little bit of a tough year, but they're bouncing back. So, I mean, it's all about being comfortable in your surroundings. I think, given the right circumstances, Ronta could be a solid 1A in a 1A, 1B type relationship where they have two mediocre goalies or two above average goalies.
I mean, would you agree that Pittsburgh has the closest thing to like a stud and a like two really above average goalies?
Yeah,
for the next team that has a better one?
For the next year. Last year, I think Fleury's gone soon. Last year, I would have said you could argue Anaheim because both those guys are putting up great numbers.
Yeah.
Could argue St. Louis had Allen and Elliott as well. They were both above average.
They were both very streaky, though. I will say that.
They were, but I think Elliott ended the year with like an under two goals against or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. They all had they both had a few games, though, where they were real, real rough.
Agreed.
Also, Tampa has a really good system, too. I mean, Bishop. And Vasilevsky's actually a really, really good goalie.
Yeah.
Interesting, though, like you said, Fleury and Bishop are both probably going to be on the trading block sooner than later. Also, Halak. Did you see that?
I did see that.
So there's a lot of weird goalie situations going on in some teams here. So that should be interesting in the next couple months.
Goalie roulette. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Dude, the other quick question, Buchnevich.
Yeah.
When is this kid going to score, man? Because he's gotten opportunities.
I think sooner rather than later. Listen, we just mentioned three games upcoming on the slate this week. He will have at least a goal by the end of this week.
I can quote you on that?
I all but guarantee it, yeah.
You trying to bet on that?
Dude, maybe. I think his time's coming. You don't think he'll score this week?
Honestly, I don't know. All I know is he's getting tons of opportunities. That's what I'm saying, though.
You get the chances. They're going to go in eventually.
I actually don't think he's going to score this week. And I think, you know, putting him on the fourth line, he's not going to have as many opportunities on a fourth line, specifically because Grabner is now not on the fourth line either. I mean, you know, it's still a good fourth line, but he's not going to have quite the opportunities he would have on it, you know, when he was on the top line for the first couple games. But I hope he does. I hope he does. But
well, we'll see. We'll see. That'll be something to watch. Watch out for. But yeah, that pretty much does it for this episode.
Yeah, the next one we should have some new segments, and hopefully we're working on trying to get a guest in as well. So hopefully we'll have a new voice for you guys. You're probably getting sick of our fucking voices. So
right.
Try to get a new voice in here.
No, we should have guests soon. Working on some big things for the pod. Thank you for your support thus far. If you've been listening, that'll do it for this show. But be sure to look out for our next pod probably sometime next weekend. So
yeah, send us questions too if you have any.
Please send us questions.
RealTalkRangers@gmail.com.
RealTalkRangers@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe. Tell your friends. Give us 5 stars. If we deserve them, only if we deserve them.
I think we do. What do you think?
I agree, of course. Yeah, but, I mean, come on. You know, let the listeners decide for themselves. but yeah, so for Derek, I'm Greg, and we'll see you next week.
Peace. It's up to you.